This is a previously recorded episode.
Welcome to M Squared TechCast, a live internet radio show offering the latest news and interviews with the people driving business, technology, and politics in Michigan. Now, your hosts, Matt Rausch and Mike Brennan.
Hey, it's the M Squared TechCast, and that means whether you want it or not, this is Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And we're here today with news of technology and business and politics and other fun stuff in Michigan. We're going to start with some news headlines here. We haven't done that in a couple of weeks. A lot has been happening in the past week or so. Mike, why don't you kick us off with the best you've got at mitechnews.com.
I'm not sure if it's the best, but it certainly is the most interesting. I do pick up from lots of different folks. And all these intelligent toys that connect to the internet, well, we just discovered, for all you Barbie fans out there, that the new Hello Barbie also is very hackable.
No.
And so if you put your personal information in there for your kids, or your kids do that, it's like it's all default passwords and the bad guys could just scoop it up.
Oh, great.
So damn, another one, right?
You know,
it's like with first, and then it was Chucky, the intelligent Chucky. Now you can't use him because he can be hacked.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, if you can connect it to the internet, should you connect it to the internet?
Hacking Chucky could have an entirely different context, though, because if you could make him attack you, then that would be like in the movie.
That's it.
Okay. Well, this is an interesting segue, since we say we don't script this. Walsh College, I just wanted to add, has added a new cybersecurity concentration.
Ooh, nice
in its Master of Science in Information Technology degree program. They're going to add that beginning in January for what they say is a huge, crushing demand for IT security training in this area.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, there's so many openings and so few people. It is really quite especially, and boy, I'm telling you make gazillions of dollars if you're really good at it. You're talking like six figures easy.
Yep.
So
yeah, and Dr. Barb Shermataro, who has been a guest on this program, is leading that program. She's also got a webinar coming up January 20th on the next generation of cyber warriors.
Well, one of the things that we've always been talking about here is the Michigan Renewable Energy Standard, and we just came out with a report from the Environmental Law and Policy Center, which said that the state's generating some $2.6 billion annually in economic activity because of all them windmills and solar panels and whatnot. And, you know, there's been a lot of talk. I know the governor's talking now about increasing the standard to 30% by, I'm not sure the date, 2025 or 2030. But not only is it going to be a good thing for, you know, the environment, but it's also not so bad for the economies either.
Indeed. Also wanted to point out, not only is Michigan State University competing for a national football title, they also have new
that's
technology.
A shameless plug. Hit the bell there.
Yeah.
There we go.
All right.
Okay.
It came out today, are supplying facial recognition technology to NEC Corporation of Japan. It's developed by an MSU professor named Anil Jain. He is MSU Distinguished Professor of Computer Science and Engineering. The MSU face search system can use a photo from surveillance or crime scene cameras to quickly retrieve a list of potential candidates by searching a large database of facial images. Supposedly, what makes the MSU stuff superior is its ability to compensate for stuff like pose and lighting and expression and background. So I guess we're actually headed for Minority Report, where they can tell where you are whenever. So
I guess they can probably tell that already. You know how we like to talk about our friends in the NSA and the CIA and all the other acronyms out there tracking whatever we're doing. So we like to poke them a little bit because we already know they're listening. So what the hell, right?
Yeah, they listen to everything, right?
So, yes. Yeah. That new data center in near Grand Rapids, that switched $5 billion data center, all that legislation to give them all those tax exemptions to woo them to the state has cleared the Michigan Senate. Now it's in the House. The biggest problem is it's a very conservative House and Senate, which is not really excited about the whole idea of what they call corporate welfare. And so it'll be interesting to see what actually comes out of the House on this. But I think they'd be fools not to give them what they want, essentially, because it's transformational what it could do not only to West Michigan but the state as a whole. This is like 2 million square feet or something like that, some huge number. You know, so it'll be interesting to see. And this week, I think, is when all that's going to take place. So, and the governor, he hasn't really weighed in yet on where he's at with that. I think he's just kind of waiting to see which way the wind's blowing. But I'm pretty sure that's going to go through.
And you will be covering that sort of on a day-to-day basis, right, through your feed from Gongwer News Service?
Yes, I will. So, of course, tune in to mitechnews.com to get the latest updates.
Yes, and it's like anything else with these things. I mean, you have to balance what you're giving against what you're getting. You know, if you're getting a $5 billion data center and thousands of jobs, then okay, maybe you might not want to let them or have them pay every nickel. You know, it's like I said, it's a balancing act. All these things are,
and that's how this whole economic development incentive thing has worked for decades. Some of it, yes; some of it, no. I mean, that's the whole thing. Is how do you really? They always claim they're going to create so many jobs when they get these things, but then when you go back in and actually track it, you go, well, maybe not. Mm-hmm. But I mean, this one I think is one of those that's really a grand slam, and I'm really hoping that our legislature does the right thing for a change.
Well,
they can't fix the roads, but by God, maybe they can get us a data center, right?
So, right. Hmm. Well, and especially when you see that ginormous signature building empty, you know, there in Grand Rapids, it really does need something in it. Wanted to tell you something about the nonprofit world here. One of the things we do at the Engineering Society of Detroit is we have a lot of architects and designers as members, and I thought this was a neat little story that graduate architecture students at Lawrence Tech are in a project to create a new approach to housing design and construction for Habitat for Humanity, and they are hoping that that becomes Habitat for Humanity's new standard for housing. And you can go look at it. There is a Hull House full-scale exhibition running from tomorrow night through December 18th from 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. in the Architecture Building at Lawrence Tech. That's sort of where Northwestern Highway and 10 Mile Road and Evergreen all come together. You can't miss it from the freeway. And there is an opening reception tomorrow night from 6 to 8 p.m. The idea of this building is to be more energy efficient and also have some neat design touches, some really cool design touches that modest homes like this usually don't have. I mean, it's a straight up, no frills, three-bedroom, one-and-a-half-bath house, not very big, but they want it to have some really cool design features to sort of maximize its value for the homeowner when they eventually have to sell it, because sooner or later, you know, you buy a house, sooner or later you're going to sell it. So
one way or another, either your estate does or you do.
Right, exactly. But they want it to be as cool as possible and as energy efficient as possible. And Lawrence Tech's architecture program is sort of – there's only three licensed architecture programs in Michigan. There's Lawrence Tech, there's U of M Ann Arbor, and there's U of D Mercy. And Lawrence Tech's is the most Michigan-centric of the three. I just learned this in researching another story. 60% of the architects in Michigan had some part of their schooling at Lawrence Tech.
No kidding.
Either
Larry
undergrad
Tech,
or graduate.
Eh?
Yep.
Wow.
So you know, what you see around you here in Michigan, if it was designed here, if a Michigan architect did it, chances are it's got Lawrence Tech's hands on it.
Cool. Speaking of Habitat for Humanity, good news over the weekend. Jimmy Carter, the brain cancer that he had is gone. I don't know whether it was prayer or the new chemicals he's taken, but that's wonderful news because he's one of those really nice people that you want to see hang on as long as possible, right?
Right, so, absolutely.
Anyway, we digress, but I wanted to throw that in there. That was good news and sort of segued in. The Michigan Small Business and Development Center has come out. We're heavy on cybersecurity today. It's come out with a new cybersecurity threat assessment tool. Essentially, you go to this website, you punch in what you're doing with your company's cybersecurity initiatives, and it'll give you a rating, whether you're secure, not so secure, you're in trouble, whatever it might be. And the, most people are going to be in trouble. What happens is once you get that rating is they then offer you in-depth training, best practices, industry articles, webinars. Comes from Trivalent Group over in Grand Rapids, which is a major operation too. Larry Andrus real well, a good friend of mine. So they're helping with that, and it's all free. That's the best part.
Ooh,
and
very cool.
I just posted that on Friday, and I had 400 or 500 hits on that story already.
Obviously,
so
there's some interest.
Some interest out there. So if you haven't read that story, I encourage you to do so. Again, it's free.
I think free is everybody's favorite word,
That's
right?
That's a great word, yes. And so mitechnews.com, you can find the story there. Take the assessment. and find out how secure your business is.
Okay, I do have one shameless plug here, a truly shameless plug.
I'll get right on the bell.
Okay, among the things that the Engineering Society of Detroit does is run competitions and events for other people, technical events. We're running one now for DTE Energy. It's called eChallenge 3. This is the third year we've done this. Mm-hmm. What it is a competition for advanced energy technology that DTE can then take and sort of make an example of for its electric customers, mostly commercial and industrial. They're looking for energy efficiency technologies. This time they're looking for advanced controls technologies. The last couple of e-challenges have sort of revolved around advanced lighting. They didn't want to do that this time. It's, you know, LEDs are kind of, you know, no longer state of the art. They're sort of, that's what everybody has now if they're putting in new lighting. So this is about energy controls. It's called eChallenge 3, and DTE is offering up to $100,000 to finance pilot demonstration projects of advanced energy controls technologies. The deadline for entering that contest is Friday, January 29th of next year, and ESD is managing that competition. We are looking for people to be judges for this event if you're an energy expert or an energy contractor.
Wait a minute. I think we have one in the studio here.
Yes. We're also looking for people to enter projects. We're looking for places, commercial and industrial sites that would like to be demonstration sites for advanced controls technologies. And there's more information on how to enter that competition at my website, which is techcentury.com. Once again, it's eChallenge 3, sponsored by DTE Energy and managed by the Engineering Society.
Okay, did we ring the bell, though?
I don't think not nearly enough.
Okay, okay, there we go.
The bell is for shameless plugs.
Yeah, well, we do that all the time. You know, it's loose here. We can do whatever we want, right?
Within reason.
Within reason. We even curse, but Canadian like curse anyway.
Yeah, leave out the F-bomb. Everything else is fair game, right?
I wanted to mention that Bullseye Telecom, they sent me this, and I decided...
You came very close there to Canadian swearing.
Did I?
Oh, yes. Okay.
Bullseye. Not excrement. Bullseye. anyway, on December 10th, Mitch Albom is having his Say Detroit Radiothon, and then so I did that. That's where the bullseye comes in, and so they're providing the cloud services for them. So they'll just go out to the Somerset Connection. I can do it. Collection. I need a beer or something, right? Yeah. I know it's just
really
the other
beer,
room.
Right? Yeah,
I should
right
go
in the
get
green
one,
room.
And,
yeah.
And my it'll all level off after that. So anyway, on December 10th, that's a good project. Last year they raised $814,000. I do need a beer. $814,000. But anyway, they're providing the cloud services so that it's real simple to go up to the cloud and, you know, and they handle all the processing of all the donations, send you to the website. And again, since Mitch is an old Free Press guy like me, I wanted to a little shout out there to him and give him a little plug because it's a worthy, very worthy cause because it helps a lot of people in Detroit.
Very cool.
And I think I got through that.
All right.
And so on the break, I'm going to go have a beer, and everything's going to be cool. So.
Well, we've got a very cool show for you today here. We have a bunch of information about energy efficiency and how to finance it from Scott Ringline from the Energy Alliance. And it used to be the Energy Alliance of Michigan, but it's about to become more than that, which is very cool. And, Mike, you have a guest as well?
Yes, Michelle Gilbert, who is going to be...
Old friend. Well, not that old. No.
Well, I knew her back in her...
A long time friend.
Dare
yes,
I say
that's
the,
a better way to
dare
put it.
I say the old company? Is that all right?
You can say that.
Verizon?
Yeah. And even the company before that.
I can remember.
Mark's Lane.
Oh, yeah, Mark's Lane.
Oh,
yeah.
She was a mere child then.
Yeah,
yes,
that's
indeed.
What she
just
got
a baby.
Basic training.
Right.
So she's going to talk about some new initiatives on the part of Comcast who do a lot of cool things in downtown Detroit. And
very high-speed internet, extremely high-speed internet, ludicrously high-speed internet.
Ludicrously for hardly any money at all. Well, she doesn't want to comment.
Let's clarify.
Let's go to commercial. We'll give you the chance to weigh in after that. This is Mike Brennan.
And it's Matt Rausch, and this is the M Squared TechCast. And I stepped on you again.
God, I knew it.
We'll be right back.
It's Mike Brennan.
And it's Matt Rausch.
And we're doing the second segment of M Squared TechCast, and I'm going to slow down. I was so excited the last time, stepping all over Matt and me and everyone else. So we have in this segment an old friend. I won't say how old. Well, she still looks 35 to me, though. So Michelle Gilbert, who now is the Vice President of Communications. Give me the title.
Vice President of Public Relations Public for Comcast.
Relations. Got it.
Yes.
For the Heartland region?
Yep. That's Michigan, Indiana, and a little piece of Kentucky.
Okay. Is that like Louisville or what?
No. Have you ever been to Paducah?
Never.
No. What about E-Town?
No. It's not on my bucket list.
Yes, I have been there. Yeah.
Okay. That's not too far from Louisville.
I have a brother-in-law who was in the Army at Fort Knox. That's
right.
The only reason I know that place.
Okay.
So that's the nearest big town to Fort Knox.
Is it?
And Fort Knox, the gold reserve is in this just huge, ugly, awful-looking building.
Well, some say there's no gold in there if you watch, all these History Channel stuff,
But it's beside U.S. 31. So if you keep going south from Michigan and just stay on U.S. 31, you go right by Fort Knox. That's the highway it's on.
Make a withdrawal or something, right?
Well, there's no tree, no bush, no grass, no nothing around it. So, it's a fairly easily defended perimeter, I'm thinking, on purpose.
Probably,
It would make you think there's something in there.
Yeah, that's the whole thing is you got to fake them out. So, Michelle, yes. So what we're going to talk about is you told me last week you guys being Comcast Business, are going to spend $3 million downtown. Is that correct?
Yeah, so it's actually Comcast Cable as a whole.
Got it.
And so we've got several different new initiatives going on specifically in the city of Detroit. We're very encouraged by all the growth and development that's going on. So there's a number of things that we're doing. We spend millions and millions of dollars every year, just business as usual, providing enhancements to our network, not only across Michigan, but certainly in the city of Detroit. And we have a fiber backbone across the state of Michigan. So what we're looking to do is to build that fiber backbone even more in the city to the businesses. And so we're going to be building fiber really to across Midtown and Downtown next year.
Define Midtown and Downtown. Do you have some sort of footprint parameters you can tell us? I know it's a general term. Do you go up to the old GM building? Is that considered Midtown or not? Is that too far north?
I don't know. I don't have the perimeters. I think for the most part, the main area where you see lots of development going on. But I can get back to you.
Tech Town, around the ballparks there and all that.
Yes, Tech Town for sure. Absolutely.
That's where all the entrepreneurs are. And what do they call
that? We have a relationship with Tech Town.
Something Park. I'm drawing a blank here. Well, never mind.
Okay. Grand Circus Park?
Well, that's one of them. Yeah, okay. Something else. But anyway.
All right.
Yeah.
I live in Ann Arbor, so, what can I say?
Okay.
But anyway, good. So now you're going to have a store down there?
What else? We signed a lease for a brand new store. It's at Woodward and Selden.
Mm-hmm.
So the storefront's going to be on Woodward. So we've actually got two things going on. We've got a brand new Xfinity store that's going to open sometime in January.
Mm-hmm.
We're opening a business office for our business sales employees who are serving the city of Detroit. So it's bringing 12 new jobs to the city.
Mm-hmm.
So that's exciting.
How many square feet's the store?
The store is about 1,700 square feet.
Okay,
I think really good size.
1,900 square feet for the business office.
Wow. Okay.
So
So what do you buy at a Comcast store? I mean, you just go in and play with stuff, or what's the aim there, kind of?
So it's a great question because most people don't think about going into a store for their cable. And this is really very new from what other companies are doing. You walk into one of our Xfinity stores and we call it our home. There's a big leather couch in front of a huge TV. We invite you to sit down, play with our technology.
Just like on the TV commercial then. They do that on the TV commercial?
Yeah, exactly. Just like when you were in our demo lab, Mike, you come in, you play with the technology, you can touch and look and feel with the,
feel
the products.
Get a beer or?
I'm not sure we're allowed
Selton
to.
Selton Standard is not far away.
Right. But, and we're there to educate our customers, whether you're coming in to swap out equipment, whether you are coming in to pay a bill or you just have a question. There's buying your TV and internet services today isn't like it was years ago where you can just do everything online. A lot of people want to have the assurance of talking to someone live. They want to be able to see and touch and feel what they're looking at. So it gives them an opportunity to really do that in a comfortable setting.
And to try out new technology too,
yep.
Right?
Home automation.
That remote control you had that you talked to?
Right.
Still having a few issues with that, but
well, you need to call me,
okay,
so that I can help you.
All right,
we can determine whether it's user error or.
I keep saying Playboy Channel and nothing comes up. So I mean,
you got to subscribe.
Oh, that's it. Okay,
right.
You didn't tell me that part.
Right.
So,
but so technology like that, and I mean, home automation is huge,
mm-hmm.
and we have a home automation service. We have Xfinity Home, which provides the security, like to alarm your house, but we also have the ability to connect lots of different devices so that you can control your home when you're away.
Hmm. Very cool. So tell me a little bit about your internet speeds in downtown Detroit. What's being offered? I know you have what, three tiers, performance, blast, and extreme? That's what they are? Or what are the tiers called now?
We've got several tiers, and we just introduced a few months ago our newest tier, which is 150 megabits per second.
Mm.
What we're going to be doing sometime next year, not just in Detroit, but we announced nationally, is we actually are testing right now a service that's going to deliver 1 gig speeds over our existing hybrid fiber coax network.
So you can get a gig through coax.
Yes,
huh?
Yes. It's brand new technology that we're testing right now. And the beautiful thing about that is that once we launch that, it's not going to just be a 7.2 mile, area. We're going to be able to deliver that to all of our customers, or I should say virtually all of our customers, without having to dig up trenches and things like that.
7.2 miles. How'd she come up with that?
I don't know. It's some number of meters away from the station,
know.
I think.
Well, that tends to be the downtown Midtown area that everybody's talking about. But, let's talk about a gig and what that means today, because there's a lot of sexy talk about a gig, and speeds are sexy, and speed is important.
Mm-hmm.
Reliability is important, too. And one of the things that people have to understand when they think about reliability is the vast majority of how you're using the internet today in your house is not a hard connection. It's over Wi-Fi. So you need to make sure that you have the right equipment that's going to support whatever speeds are in your house, whether that's a gig or whether that's 75 megabits per second. I throw out the 75 because that tends to be our most popular tier. The reason it's our most popular tier is because that's all that people really need today. They don't necessarily, based on how they're using the internet, they don't necessarily need more speeds today. Right now, a gig is a niche product. In a couple of years, we're going to get there. It's kind of that if you build it, they will come.
So, 75, that's typical for downloading Netflix or something like that?
So, I was going to say, can you watch streaming television in more than one room on 75?
Absolutely.
Different programs.
Absolutely. You can watch streaming television in more than one room on probably 50 megabits per second.
Mm-hmm.
The thing about it is you've got to have the equipment. You've got to have whoever it is that's delivering, they've got to be able to deliver it to you. And right now, Netflix and Hulu are not going to stream the show faster to you. That's not going to do you any good whatsoever.
I think it's buffering anyway, right? It's only partially downloaded, then it buffers and then keeps loading behind, right? Isn't that how it works? Or?
If you're having buffering, then you should call your internet service provider. But I can tell you that on our speeds, on the speeds that most of our customers are using, they're not getting buffering.
Ah. Okay. So this new gigabit service,
yep.
I always get those confused.
I know, me too.
You have a price point on that? I know that
right.
one we talked about is kind of expensive, but that's a specialty kind of thing, right?
So we don't have a price point yet for our 1 gig service because we haven't launched it yet. But,
mm-hmm.
What I can tell you is that for the past 15 years, we have increased speeds at no additional cost for our customers virtually every year. The cost per megabyte per MBPS is coming down every year.
Mm-hmm.
So the value is getting better. We don't have a price point yet because we haven't launched it yet. But we've always dealt with competitors. We will be competitively priced.
All right. And how important is your hardware to getting these kinds of speeds? You know, what kind of modem you have, what kind of router you have?
It's very important. You have to have a router and a modem that's going to support whatever speed. So a lot of people have the question, well, I'm going to buy my modem and router versus rent it from my internet service provider. And that may be great, but make sure you're buying a router that's capable and has the right technology in it. Mm-hmm. One of the biggest things that we see with our customers is that they may even have the right router, but they've got a lot of different devices connected to that router, and their speeds are slower than they expect, and they don't understand why. Well, the reason why is because your router can only speak one wireless protocol at a time. So if you've got a brand new shiny laptop and your iPhone 6 and you're not getting the speed you want, take a look at what else around the house is connected. Is it an old iPod? Is it a first generation tablet? Because if those are connected at the same time and you're not putting them on separate frequencies, then you're bringing down the speeds of your faster devices.
So you might want to connect the slower devices to the 2.4 gig.
You got it.
And then the faster ones to the 5.
Yep.
Okay, I
got you.
All right.
Did I just teach Matt Rausch something?
You sure did. I'm going to have to check and see.
Yeah.
He can be taught.
See, I am somewhat teachable. My wife has an older Microsoft Surface, second generation. I'm going to have to check and see which one that's connected to.
Yeah.
So that's interesting.
So maybe you give me a call because I know you have our service. And if you're not getting the speeds that you should be, that might be a reason.
Well, I just checked my account online here, and I've got the performance level, which is the lowest level. And I'm getting about 30 gigs. So that's supposed to be somewhere between 25 and 50, I know, right? For performance, so yeah, it's not that far off. So talk real quick. We only have about a minute left to go about business customers in your service area. What are you going to be offering them under this new regime?
Well, what we're doing right now across the entire state of Michigan is we're actually we've been doing hyper builds of fiber to office buildings and office parks across the state of Michigan, Grand Rapids, Lansing, all across Metro Detroit. We're doing Detroit next year. So it's kind of the mentality that before the tenants actually go in, we're building to make it more lucrative for them to go in because it's already built out. Mm-hmm. They'll already have the speeds they need.
Right,
and it's scalable.
We're going to keep Michelle around with us. We still got a couple more segments, including one with Lisa Valley Smith, who's hiding back in the green room.
She must be drinking the beer.
I think she's drinking the beer to get ready for the show. But first, we're going to go to this little segment here, our break, and then we're going to go to Scott Ringline. Mm-hmm. And he's going to talk about what's happening with the Energy Alliance Group. This is Mike Brennan.
And it's Matt Rausch.
And you're on M Squared TechCast.
Hey, it's Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And you're listening to the M Squared TechCast. And our next guest is a fellow by the name of Scott Ringline, who's with the Energy Alliance Group. Scott, tell me a little bit about the Energy Alliance Group. From what I understand, it's all about energy efficiency and how to pay for it.
That's correct. Thanks for having me. I appreciate the invite. We're focused on energy efficiency projects for your industrial commercial customers.
Mm-hmm.
And you talk about paying for them. We're one of the approved PACE developers in the state of Michigan and are now moving into the state of Ohio. And for those that are unaware of what PACE is, it stands for Property Assessed Clean Energy. It's the latest and greatest financing program for energy efficiency projects.
Why don't you go into that? Because I'm not familiar with it at all. So
it originated in California back in 2009. And what it allows is property owners to take on a special property assessment to do energy efficiency projects. And that allows them to get terms up to 20 to 30 years.
Hmm.
And it carries with the property rather than the property owner, so it's not considered debt.
Oh.
Okay, so it's like a special tax assessment then.
Correct. Just like we take on when we put in a new sewer system, all the businesses have to pay for that new sewer systems. They pay a special assessment over a long period of time.
All right. So how long has this program existed in Michigan? I know it exists in some counties and some municipalities, but not others, right?
Yeah. So the way it works, it's first adopted by the state. The state really is giving permission for the local taxing authorities to do the assessment. And Michigan adopted it in 2010. City of Southfield was the first to become a PACE district. And the first project was just completed in 2014.
Hmm. And where was that project and what was done?
So, believe it or not, it was the new building that the MPSC is moving into. It's not a state building. Of course, the state buildings or the public buildings cannot participate. But the state is leasing it. So they utilized PACE to put some solar in and to upgrade the HVAC system.
All right. The building's actually in Lansing, correct?
That's correct. Okay. Yes, it is. Yep. Ingham County. That's okay. Correct. Yep.
All right. And so now you've got a pretty good-sized number of counties and municipalities. I know the last map I saw, it's more than half the state's population is covered now, right?
That's correct. Latest ones are all the way up in the UP.
Hmm.
Did you focus initially on the bigger metro areas and then kind of go from there?
Yeah. So I'll give a little background on that. The PACE program is actually administered by Levin Energy Partners, which is run by Andy Levin.
Mm-hmm.
And the name of the PACE program in Michigan is called Lean and Green Michigan. So they are the administrator for it, and they're behind getting these counties, cities, townships all approved as PACE districts.
Hmm. So there are 83 counties. Matt was saying you're in about half then, 40 or something?
Not half of the counties, but it covers half of the population.
Oh, okay.
So a big segment of them is, of course, in southeast Michigan.
So you got Wayne, Oakland, Macomb, right?
Oakland, not yet.
Coming. You have some municipalities in Oakland.
That's
though, right?
Correct. Yeah.
Kent and Ottawa over on the other side?
Not yet. Kent, there's a lot of focus on Kent right now because there's some big projects that we're looking at there. Up in the Traverse City area, of course, and then all the way up around the Houghton Marquette area.
So do you have southwest Michigan, any counties there yet?
There's a few of them, yes.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. So basically, tell me what a typical engagement would be for you folks. What, you know, how would someone get a hold of you? What would you talk about? How would you decide to do the deal?
Yeah, so believe it or not, most of our opportunities are coming through our partners, our technology partners that are out basically on the street every day, selling their products. But we get a lot of inquiries from customers that are looking to do an energy efficiency project that normally they could not do because of the initial expense, and they're really, really intrigued about PACE and how it works. And usually through the first couple of meetings, we have a really good idea of what their company does, what they need, and then we start the process from there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, does this include insulating the structure, that sort of thing as well, or not?
You betcha.
It does.
Yep. The way we say it, Mike, if we can calculate an energy savings, it qualifies. However, in the state of Michigan, there are two technologies that aren't allowed by the statute, which is an incinerator and, believe it or not, biodigesters. But we expect that that's going to come on board here in the next year or so.
I wonder what the rationale for the biodigesters was.
You know what? I don't know, and Andy doesn't even know. So
okay.
We'll figure that out.
Well, I know a lot of these projects, people think about, oh, big windmills and, oh, big solar farms. But a lot of this kind of stuff is sort of decidedly unsexy, right? It's insulation. It's better windows. It's
you betcha.
Just the basics.
You betcha. That's right. The HVAC systems, solar on the roof.
Maybe we could get Lisa fixed up there. She's having heating problems, you know, so.
I am having heating problems.
Well, unfortunately, they don't apply to residential in Michigan yet, but hopefully that comes up someday.
It's just commercial then?
Yeah, yeah. Industrial.
Okay, I'm sorry. You said that and it just didn't register. I was thinking that also residential, but is that something in the offing then?
It will in the future. California currently does residential, and in fact, when it first started in Berkeley, California, that was the main focus, was residential, trying to get solar to take off.
Well, it's all them hippies out there, right? So,
hey, I'm glad they did it.
Whatever works, man.
That's right.
Well, one of the things I was wondering is, have you had any really big energy users take a look at this, you know, financing yet? Or are they so big they really don't need the help? You know, I'm thinking of, you know, just mammoth energy users like the Guardian.
Some aluminum manufacturer.
The Guardian glass plant out by the airport that's like a $2 million a year natural gas customer because they have to get, you know, sand up to 2,900 degrees to make glass out of it.
Well, not yet, but if they're listening, they can give us a call. It's been quite an interesting range from, you know, large facilities over 200,000 square feet to a small brewery. We're actually doing a new brewery here in Ferndale.
Okay. Let's talk about the brewery.
We love beer here.
Yes, we do.
Yeah. Well, I can't let the cat out of the bag. But
Who do we tell?
One of the local brewers
one of the local
breweries here is going to be building a new brewery to actually produce and distribute their beer.
Sure.
And the beauty about Pace is not only can you use it from a energy efficiency upgrade from an existing building, you can use it for new construction.
Is it all energy efficiency? I know that I remember reading something last week about a brewery that was involved in a recycling effort through it, but that was more of a biodigester, actually.
Yeah, that's so correct. Yeah. Unfortunately, that would not count. However, what you do with the gas
would count
because okay. Then you can put it into, say, a CHP unit and produce power, which
that's
is
combined heat and power for people that
correct.
Don't know.
Thank you.
Well, so, all right.
Without naming a company, give me an example of a commercial customer, industrial customer where you did this and then how much the payments were. Is it monthly, quarterly? How do they pay?
It's biannual, so biannual. It follows the tax. It shows up on your tax bill.
Yeah, just give me, without naming them, but just give me a for instance.
So basically, if you're paying $20,000 a year in energy, you might have an assessment of $10,000 a year.
And that's split over two payments, so 5 Gs every 6 months.
That's correct. A real quick point about that. In the state of Michigan, the way the statute is written, it has to be cash flow positive from day one, meaning for every dollar saved, at least 5% of it has to be money returned to the client.
Okay. So it has to have a really good ROI profile.
You betcha. Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. So tell me about this meeting coming up in Toledo. We in Michigan frequently, you know, consider Toledo as the part of Ohio that's not awful.
Well, we had a war over Toledo.
Yes.
You
well,
know?
We got
so,
the UP. I think yeah, we broke even
okay.
on that one.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, I'll ring the bell and get that in here. So, this year we just launched the Energy Alliance Group of Ohio. And we're going to be doing a workshop tomorrow at the Toledo Port Authority at 3 o'clock on PACE. So for anyone that's in the area, stop in and learn more.
So you're going to be working with the Port Authority then, or is that just someplace to have the meeting?
We are working with the Port Authority. So the way Ohio is set up, because most of their projects, public projects, come out of their port authorities, the Toledo Port Authority was one of the first to establish it in Ohio. It's under the Northwest Better Building business, and that is their PACE project for Northwest Ohio.
Okay. So if people want more information about Energy Alliance Group and the PACE program, where can they go?
Hey, www.energyalliancegroup.org.
Okay. And there's also the Levin Energy Partners has a site too, right?
Just That's
for
right.
more generic information kind of?
Yeah, so that talks about specifically what's going on in Michigan, and that's Lean and Green Michigan, and I think it's either .com or .org. And then just a little plug for PACE in general. There is a nonprofit organization run out of Washington, D.C. called PACE Nation. And you can find out everything you'd want to know about PACE throughout the United States.
That's certainly a neat idea to sort of make this something that you can get long-term financing on, because typically lenders are loath to lend on this kind of thing if it takes forever to pay back because they're worried about the company's other cash flow issues.
Yeah, I love it because I came out of that industry and the first question is, well, what's the payback?
Sure.
And I get to answer day one.
Can't beat that. I'd take that anytime, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's right.
So is there any move afoot to make this a residential program then? Or?
There's been some little discussion about it, but that it just has not been quick to expand throughout the U.S. Everybody's still trying to just get their hands around PACE it is today from the industrial commercial standpoint. Mm-hmm. So I think it's coming, but it's going to be a long time before we really see it.
Well, the way energy efficiency has typically worked is you start with a really huge users first, or you can make a big difference, and then you go to the millions of smaller ones.
That's right.
So, yep.
That's right.
Okay. So Scott wants to also give him your email address if somebody has a direct question that they want to ask you. Fire away. What is that?
Yeah, so you can email me directly at scott@energyalliancegroup.org.
All right. Well, thanks very much. That's more from all about PACE financing, energy efficiency, and how to pay for it. It turns out there's a way now where you can spread it out over a long number of years and put it on your tax bill. If you have a commercial and industrial building in Michigan, it's certainly something worth looking into.
And on deck, we have Lisa Valley Smith, who's giving me a funny look right now. But she's an old friend. We started our businesses
long-time
within
friend.
A couple
long-time
of months
friend.
Of
we
each other.
We learned how to say that from the PR person
we
here,
did,
the other
yeah.
PR person.
Friend, but not old.
Oh, right. Excuse me. Right, right. Wow. That's what
friend,
I meant to say.
Friend, but not old. Okay.
Long-time
long
friend.
Long-time
long
friend.
Friend. Long-time friend, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's how you
so,
say it.
So anyway, we're going to go to break, and we'll come back and learn all about your new Royal Oak office. Yes.
Indeed.
Mike Brennan.
And you're listening to the M-Squared TechCast.
It's Mike Brennan.
And it's Matt Rausch.
And we're doing our fourth segment of M-Squared TechCast, and we have a longtime friend.
Very good. I was corrected during the break there.
Longtime friend Lisa Valley Smith, founder and chief cook and bottle washer at Airfoil Public Relations. And Lisa is coming back to Detroit. Well, you're in Southfield. I know that's still Detroit. But you're coming to Royal Oak here January, right?
Yes, mid-January, if all goes as planned, with the construction and development people. Actually, on my way home from the studio today, I'll be driving by and making sure that things are still
kicking
moving
butt or something,
forward.
Right?
So, but we're really excited after nearly 11 years in the Southfield Town Center. We have identified brand new space in Royal Oak at 1900 North Main, which is at the north end of Main Street, very near to the Imagine Theaters.
11 Mile and Main Street, right?
Mm-hmm. And this is first floor retail space that is being redeveloped to be professional services offices. So it's super conducive to the creative agency that we are. We have a youthful staff, and they've been kind of prisoner in a soulless glass box in Southfield for
a number
of years.
That's a ringing endorsement of the town center then, right?
And they're just super eager to be in a lovely walkable downtown that has just really embraced Airfoil and made the whole deal work for us, in addition to the landlord and the developer, which is Alladate out of Birmingham. They've been great.
Now, Lisa, I know you're sort of Michigan's homegrown high-tech PR firm, right? High-tech communications firm.
I would say we are.
Is that sort of still the client base? Is that still the biggest part of the client base?
Correct.
Is tech firms?
Okay. Correct. Our legacy since 2000, when we launched out of the dot-com, has been working with technology-centric businesses. And back then, you'll recall, it was all about the internet. But in fact, our legacy experience is really in IT and software. So we've been working with Microsoft Corporation for almost 16 years, predating the launch of the firm. So those best practices in software marketing and working with technology companies have allowed us to work with technology startups of all kinds. And a lot of those these days, as you know, are cloud-based software as a service, and you can put just about anything in the cloud these days and make a really neat business value proposition out of it. So in Royal Oak, for instance, one of our newest clients is Ambassador, and they are referral marketing software. So they do the equivalent of frequent flyer programs for CMOs who are looking to get their customers to be advocates for their products and services.
And you actually have, and it wasn't planned at all, one of your PR clients is sitting right here in the studio.
Indeed, our favorite client, Comcast, Michelle, who's been a friend of our firm for many years, and we've been working together for about 2 years now since Michelle's been with Comcast, and we do their work in the Heartland region and a lot in the area of social media.
Right.
Go ahead.
All right. I just wanted to point out also that I think you guys ran one of the Microsoft launch events that was at Kobo years ago, where I first heard Bill Gates talk about, on tape, of course, he wasn't there, but I heard him talk about the car being just another node on the network, and everybody went, but boy, it really turned out to be true, didn't it, with connected vehicles these days?
It turned out to be very, very true. And in our offices in San Jose and Silicon Valley, it's all about connected car and really the next wave, which is autonomous driving. And that value proposition, which, like you, it was a little unbelievable years ago. But it's really happening. And here in Michigan, of course, with Umtree and what they're doing with autonomous driving testing in Ann Arbor, it's really a great time to be in technology in Detroit as well as Silicon Valley, because the technologies for autonomous driving are still going to require the cars be made and manufactured.
Sure.
And, of course, there's so much legacy engineering and manufacturing experience here in Detroit that there's really a value proposition for us in particular in both areas now.
Oh, to me, I'm sorry. Yes. I was leaning away for a second. I was going to ask, is there some way for Comcast to play in the autonomous vehicle space? I don't know, internet connection sort of thing. Are you guys working in anything in that area?
Not that I'm aware of. I mean, one of the things that we didn't talk about before is we're going to be adding outdoor hotspots in public areas, and we're going to start in Detroit. But the having a connected car requires truly, you know, contiguous service, and that's not what we provide from a driving, or, you know, a mobile experience per se.
I know from all those Chevy commercials that the new Chevys do have Wi-Fi hotspots in them. How do they pull that off? Is that through OnStar?
That's through wireless. Oh, so okay. You know, some of them use Verizon, some of them use other companies. But yeah, it's through the wireless, the cell phone towers.
Got it. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's just a little bit longer range than Wi-Fi, right? So you're talking, yeah,
right.
10 miles from a tower instead of 30 feet.
Yeah, our hotspots are intended to, you're sitting, you're in, you know, a public venue, you're going to get a cup of coffee, you're staying in a reasonable area, and you can leverage our hotspots so that you don't have to use your wireless data. Your wireless data you need when you need that contiguous coverage.
Right.
So the two really complement each other.
And you also don't have to use the venue's unsecure network either. You know, like everyone talks about the
or the very laggy
yes.
network.
Well, yeah, that's right. True too. Right. Not only is it insecure, it's slow. Hey, that's lots of features.
But it depends where you go.
Yeah.
And it depends who their provider is.
Yep, that's true too. Okay. All right.
Well, security is a huge issue and yeah. something that all of our clients, not just technology companies, but really any company that has data that if hacked or compromised would negatively impact the company. And so we're talking to all of our clients about cybersecurity planning now. And we've actually had probably a handful of clients that have gone through this. And I can tell you from a communication standpoint, it really is a reputation killer to have to go through that. You probably all read just this past week that Target is starting to settle its class actions. And, of course, this is setting an incredible precedent.
That was a while ago, too, wasn't it? Like four years ago or something?
No, it was
three years ago.
3 years, okay. Yeah.
It was 3 years ago. So, and until the SEC begins to mandate that companies communicate and disclose when their networks have been breached, there's very little data or benchmarking to be able to address the problem. It would be the analogy I use is imagine if in trying to manage diseases, people didn't report their diseases. We would not know how to track them or if things were getting better or worse. But the SEC simply doesn't require companies to disclose these kinds of things unless it has a material impact on the stock price.
That's always been the tricky part about covering cybersecurity because when companies are hit, they don't want to talk about it. Mm-hmm. And when providers have a really good defense, they don't want to talk about it.
Yep.
So it's really difficult to even cover that whole area. I had a newsletter for a few years and it just kind of finally threw up my hands because I couldn't get anything out of anybody. You know?
Right, right. They all treated it like it was keeping the nuclear secrets from the Soviets or
something.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah. So. Well, you know, that is one really interesting part of this is that when does it become material to the business? To me, I would think it would, you know, it's been material to Target. You know, you would think so. It's not like they've closed a shop, but I would imagine it's hit them.
It's going to cost them billions of dollars to settle, too. I guess that would be a material event for the company, right? So,
absolutely. But that was all determined after the fact. And,
yeah.
You know, too bad for them that they became the benchmark for all of this. But, you know, it's just a very fascinating time to be working with technology companies of all kinds.
Mm-hmm. So give us a couple of other, I guess, cool new clients that you'd like to mention.
I think you have 6 new clients, if I recall, from a certain story I read the other day.
Yeah.
Well, about a half a dozen new accounts. One of them is in the New Jersey area, just outside of New York, where we've had an office for about a year and a half. And it's called WorkWave, and they provide a mobile-based technology that allows large fleets to effectively service and to schedule appointments. And interestingly, their background is in pest control. So,
pest control.
Yes, yes. They pretty much own all of the fleet management scheduling for the largest pest control companies in the United States. And so they developed this technology and they built it out now and they're taking it to all manner of businesses. So pretty much any service that is brought to your home or your business. So think, you know, everything from fixing my heater that's not working.
Roto-Rooter.
We could just get Scott in there to fix you up. We'd be all set, right? You know?
So it's a really interesting company. They are they've grown organically, and then the other one, as we talked about, Mike, was Automation Alley. So Automation Alley is just a terrific accelerator and incubator of technology and business and international business here in Oakland County. And so we are working with them. And working with them to help spread the word about their message and their services.
We had Ken Rogers in here about a month ago, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure did.
Longtime friend of mine.
Yeah.
Long time. See, I didn't say old.
Yeah. Very so. Nice. Yes.
He can be taught.
No, he's a great guy.
Yes.
He's a great guy.
Then New York, you have one of your folks in New York, if I recall. Is that the pest control one?
Well, this WorkWave client is in the New York metro area,
okay.
And it is technically our first client in New York, being serviced by our New York office. So it is a startup. We are in some really cool space on Bryant Park called WeWork. It's a shared office complex that really is built to service the needs of technology businesses.
If you decide to open a Paris office, my daughter's there. She has an English degree, and she's looking for work. So
that's high on my list, Mike.
I know. Shameless plug there. Hit the bell. So
Paris, high on my list.
All right. Well, Lillian can fix you right up there. She's even learning to speak French. So
ooh, awesome.
So, cool. What else is going on? I guess you got a lot of things going on. Royal Oak, six new customers. What do you see ahead for 2016 for what you're doing?
I'd say there's probably two areas where we're seeing most potential opportunity. If I look at the leading indicators of the types of companies that are coming to us right now. So one would be automotive technology. We're talking to a lot of automotive technology businesses right now. And then the other one is robotics. I think we get a new business inquiry about every 2 weeks from a robotics company, and we're talking to one right now that is developing a robot that would be used in warehouse distribution centers.
And the name is?
Can't disclose that.
Well, gotta ask, right?
Okay. So what do you think of all of the tech entrepreneurship going on in downtown Detroit? Do you see yourself sort of tapping into that? I know a lot of these firms are too small to be able to engage with a company like you. But.
Well, for sure. And it's so exciting. And I think the most important thing is that these companies are getting invested. And historically speaking, Michigan has not been a huge market for venture capital. And the fact of the matter is that Dan Gilbert and others are investing now, and so these technologies will be able to come to life. So that's the good news.
All right. Well, we've reached the end of our fourth and final segment, the end of our show. I want to thank our guests here today. I want to thank our engineer par excellence, Jessica. Thank you very much for making us sound so good.
Thank you, guys.
Believe me, it's not easy. All right. But let's thank our guest, Scott Ringlein of Energy Alliance Group.
Lisa Valley Smith, the founder of Airfoil Public Relations, and Michelle Gilbert, one of her clients who's the vice president of PR,
yes,
in the Heartland region for Comcast Business.
All right. And we'll see you back again here next week at 3 o'clock. For now, though, this is Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And you've been listening to the M Squared TechCast. See you soon.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to M Squared TechCast, a live internet radio show offering the latest news and interviews with the people driving business, technology, and politics in Michigan. Join your hosts, Matt Rausch and Mike Brennan, next Monday at 3 p.m. If you can't listen live, audio podcasts of the show can be found at podcastdetroit.com.
This is a previously recorded episode.